Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this today's edition of 12-11 Sports Talk featuring Surreal Joe Quinn on the 6th of March, 2016, as we discuss the world of sports and pop culture. As always, the call number is 347-215-6180. You can follow me on Twitter at William Gerald or go to Instagram at Real Gerald Quinn. We don't know what you'll see in a NBA season, but right now you're seeing one of the great upsets in the history of the NBA statistically, in terms of what the Lakers and Golden State is happening with Golden State and Lakers. Golden State has completely slept walk through this game, 88-75, fourth quarter. Kobe has about 12 points. Clarkson, Randall, as Mickey Young kicks another three, now Lakers are up by 16. I still won't believe it until I see it. Like, I still won't believe that the Lakers are going to win this game until I see it. Still, 9-24 left, 16 points, that's nothing for a Golden State team that can get hot at any moment. But again, classic case of team sleepwalking through a game. L.A., nice weather, horrible team. Even though it's national television, you know, it's still, Lakers are just god-awful. It's almost impossible to get up for this Laker team. But somehow the Lakers have a 16-point lead over the 55-5 Golden State Warriors. Kudos and shout out to Chad Quinn for calling us. He called us that the Lakers would be sloppy and it would be a competitive game. Me and Robert Sapp were going over the over-unders of 25 to 30. I said 25. And the Lakers would be down by at least 25 points in this game, but well, both of us are wrong and Chad Quinn is right, so shout out to him. As always, you can find us at itunes.apple.com to rate and review the program. Look up 12-11 Sports Talk featuring Surreal Joe Quinn. Comments, questions are all appreciated. But we begin with the end of the career of one Peyton Manning. 18 seasons, 2 Super Bowls, 5 MVPs, 1 Super Bowl MVP, 200 victories, but a big question mark as he heads into the sunset. He's not gliding into the sunset. He's kind of running into the sunset. Not riding, he's kind of running into the sunset. Now, I say that because, you know, this is not a clean retirement. Now, you say, how can it not be a clean retirement? He's Peyton Manning, 5-time MVP, just coming off a Super Bowl win, I guess, as the underdog, beats Tom Brady one last time in the AFC Championship. Well, it's not a clean retirement because I don't believe he wanted to retire, to be honest with you. I think that these recent off-the-field situations in terms of some of the stuff being dug up from 1996 in the University of Tennessee – kind of made his decision much easier. And I think Peyton Manning wants to get out of the spotlight, like, ASAP. I think there's a possibility that had this situation not been brought up again about what happened in Tennessee and with the doc, the athletic trainer, that he would have tried to play another year. I believe that. The question is, you know, again, you're going to get the classic. NFL Network is running Peyton Manning marathon, you know, comments, showers of praise. And listen, the guy's one is an all-time great. That's not, you know, I'm not trying to take away anything that he did on the field. That's not even the question. It's not even in question. His legacy on the field is set in stone. He's one of the top 5 quarterbacks of all time, easily, and for the better part of his career, was the most consistent player in the NFL, week in and week out, regular season-wise, Peyton Manning was probably the most consistent player in NFL history, week in and week out, regular season. But that's not the question here. The question here is how, you know, do you what do you think about of Peyton Manning at this moment? Not only over the last 18 years, but at this particular moment, what do you think about Peyton Manning right here, right now? And I'll be honest with you. When I heard about this retirement today, when I heard that he was going to be, it's going to be official on Monday, news conference will be on Monday, I thought about the University of Tennessee and what, I'll be honest with you, thought about what transpired with that athletic training and the cover-up from the Manning family trying, you know, as they tried to disparage, you know, and ruin this young woman's reputation. Thought about it. Now it's been settled out. It's been settled out of court. He's not going to charge anything. He's not, you know, from that standpoint. But that was the first thing I thought about. And this is, again, this is despite everything that he's done in the NFL. This is despite him coming off a Super Bowl win. Now I don't care how bad he played in that game. He still was a big, was a, the lead quarterback, starting quarterback on the team that won the Super Bowl. So, again, it's going to be very interesting how Peyton Manning navigates his immediate retirement. So, again, it seems like ESPN could care less about the scandal because they, you know, it's already been talked that ESPN wants to hire him. But in terms of front office, ownership, we'll see how that transpires. Look, again, all right, listen, his on the field, what he did on the field, it's not in, even in question what he did on the field. That's not even discussion. It is, you know, it speaks for itself. I'm talking about what's transpired over the last month since going leading into and following a second Super Bowl championship. And my question is to you, what do you think about Peyton Manning right now? 347-215-6180 is your call number. When we return, we'll talk some college basketball and much, much more on this latest edition, a rare Sunday afternoon edition of 12 in Sports Talk featuring Surreal Joe Quinn. We'll be right back. Is a call number on this latest edition of 12 in Sports Talk featuring Surreal Joe Quinn. These are one of these rare situations where you're watching your team play and you're rooting somewhat against them for two reasons. One, the more Laker wins, it decreases the chance that they have to get a number three, that top three pick, which is protected. And if they don't have a top three pick, if they don't get that pick, then they don't have a chance, of course, at in the Ben. They'll be out of the Ben Simmons sweepstakes. That's number one. The second part is, you know, I want to see Golden State break this Bulls record. And I get a feeling that if they lose this game, that they might just say, forget it, start resting people, and not really go for the record. I feel like this would be the type of game that would be like, you know what, we're going to try to just, if the Lakers are now up by 18, this is this is unbelievable just to comprehend that the Lakers beat up by 18 against Golden State. Well, the Lakers just lost by 30 against Atlanta on Friday at home. So, you know, it's just one of these games where Golden State just did not come to play whatsoever. Just didn't come to play. So, I guess, you know, you want to get sentimental and say Kobe's last Sunday national televised game. You want them to win, and they'll interview Kobe and da-da-da-da. But as a Lakers fan, the less wins, the better. Okay? I mean, you want Ben Simmons. You want a chance at getting Ben Simmons or even Brandon Ingram, who's the other top prospect in college basketball this year. But you don't want to win this game per se. So look, but again, right now, Golden State down by 18 against the Los Angeles Lakers in L.A. Golden State had a day off yesterday, maybe early start. I mean, maybe early start, day off, bad team. Lakers motivated. I would like it, again, whatever. I'm running out of reasons why this game is not Golden State by 25. Like I really am. 347-215-6180 is the call number as we discuss the world of sports. The other game of note, Indiana, last I saw, was up 13 against Maryland. Right now they're up 14 against Maryland early in the second half. Both teams are locked in the NCAA tournament. This is about a case of seeding. You know, Indiana, which has already won the Big Ten regular season, I think if they go on and win the Big Ten tournament, which is loaded this year, I mean, you got Michigan State, you got Michigan State, Iowa, Maryland, so a very good Big Ten conference. They can probably get as high as I would think at number two seed. I don't think they can crack number one, but I think they're playing. They're certainly playing for seeding. Maryland's probably going to be locked into a 3 or 4. I can't see them going as high as two, as high as three, or as low as four. So they're probably locked into their seeding again. Two very capable teams that probably, I mean, one of five, 20 teams that can get to the final, or 30 teams that can get to the final four. I mean, the NCAA tournament is going to be wide open. Last night, we had UNC taking care of Duke to win another eight to win their very first ACC championship, regular season championship in a while. I mean, at least, you know, what, 2012? I think 2000, yeah, it's been like 4 years since North Carolina won an outright ACC championship regular season. They'll be number one seed heading to the ACC tournament, which is in D.C. Might try to get down there, depending on how well North Carolina does in that tournament. So you had that. And a very sloppy game. It was a competitive game, but both teams were sloppy down the stretch. It seemed like neither one of the teams won a game. And again, there you go with Golden State and Lakers. It'd be the largest differential in the history of the NBA in terms of winning percentage. You had Golden State had over almost 90%, won 90% of their games. Lakers have only won about 19% of their games as far as their winning percentage goes. Lakers are up by 18 with about 6 minutes left in the fourth quarter. But you look at the NCAA right now, you'll go into the tournament, and we'll go into this tournament as one of the most wide open tournaments you ever see. Don't even worry about who the number one seeds are. It doesn't matter. The tournament will not matter, to be honest with you, who the number one seeds are. I have not watched a lot of college basketball this year, and I'm a huge college basketball fan. I went to North Carolina, ACC, grew up watching ACC and its dominance. So you wonder why would that be the case of me not watching a lot of college basketball this year? And I'll tell you why. Just the level of play has been horrible. These games are not any good. And, you know, no one, my uncle told me this a long time ago, no one wants to ever watch average basketball. It's just not, just doesn't nothing for me watching average to mediocre basketball. I don't care how much I love sports. But that's what the NCAA is right now. It's average. Now, you'll watch a couple of games here and there, a couple of top matchups. I watched Maryland, North Carolina, which by the way, is one of the better played games in the whole of the year. That Maryland, North Carolina game played at an extremely high level. Kansas, Oklahoma, both Kansas, Oklahoma games are very good. But again, you have to really look hard into some of these top matchups, the quality games this season. And the reason for that is I think now we've got to that point where the one and done, and everybody talks about how the one and done has affected the NBA, guys not being ready to play pro ball physically, mentally, the whole nine, and which is true. But it's also affected college because now you see turnover on these teams left and right. You'll see the teams get one or two or three of these players, and all of a sudden have to replace them, and then have to go out there and recruit a whole different group of players, different set of players. And to me, I'm looking at it as like, let the guys come from high school. This is what I'm coming out. They want to come out 18, 17 in high school. Let them be. Let them. Because to me, if a guy doesn't want to go to college, he shouldn't have to go to college. If he's good enough to play in the NBA, then he should be able to play in the NBA. If you allow the guys to come straight to the NBA, because there's not a big difference between 1 year and no year. It's not. If you really want to make it a big deal, if you really want to have guys NBA ready, make them go, to college for 2 years. 1 year, is not going to make you NBA ready. Coming out of high school, it's not a big difference. From a college standpoint, it would improve the play because you would get guys who would be at worst minimum 2-3 year players. Like I look at North Carolina team right now. North Carolina is one of the teams that can win the championship. They have a bunch of guys, they have a bunch of 3 or 4 year players. None of their guys, they're a very good team. You see more teams like that having, you may not get that great team like you had Kentucky, like you've seen with Duke a couple times, Connecticut 04. But you're going to get a bunch of very good teams that know how to play basketball. And the level of play will go up because coaches will be able to implement their systems better, and it will be more continuity within the team. You cannot pass up on a one-and-done guy. You can't. Like, if a guy's that talented, you're a college coach, you have to recruit him. And Mike Krzyzewski found that. That's the reason why Duke won a championship last year. They had a bunch of one-and-done guys. That's the reason why they struggled in previous years because they were, Krzyzewski was not getting those players. But he, finally saw the light and said, hey, I got to get these players, and he led them to a championship last year. So you have to get these players. They're just too talented to pass up. But again, if they were not available and went just straight to the NBA or to Europe for a year, then you go out there and you recruit guys who you know are going to stay at least 2 or 3 years. And again, the level to me of play goes up. You're not dealing with prima donnas. You're not dealing with diva players. You're not dealing with all the stuff that comes with dealing with having these guys on your team. Guys being instant celebrities, talking about shoe contracts, stuff like that. You're not dealing with that from a college standpoint. Your team will be better off, better focused. And I guarantee you, the quality of basketball will go up. Listen, we have to face the facts as college basketball fans. You're a college basketball fan. It's never going to be like it was. Like, you're never going to have a guy like Patrick Ewing staying 4 years, or Michael Jordan staying 3 years. Those days are done. It's over. Those days are long gone. It's never going to happen again. So to me, get the very good players out of high school. All those guys, all the McDonald's All-Americans are not going to be one-and-done players. You'll get guys who are McDonald's All-Americans who will stay 2 to 3 years. But again, that only happens. I blame the NBA on this. I don't blame college basketball. It only happens if you allow high school players to go directly to the pros. (347) 215-6180 is your call number on this latest edition of 12 of the Sports Talk featuring Cyril Joe Quinn. 102-83, Golden State down to the Lakers. About 4 minutes left. It looks like it's going to happen. I mean, this is going to be the biggest upset in NBA history. That's what it's looking like. I don't expect Kobe Bryant to come back in the game. He played about 24 minutes. Played more than I thought he was going to play. Played okay. 12 points. I think Golden State has conceded this, to be honest with you. You got Curry and Green on the bench. Four minutes left. 102-83. This would be, without question, the highlight of the Lakers season. Maybe the highlight of the Lakers season in the past 3 years. This would be, without question, this win over a team that still has the opportunity to break the Chicago Bulls record and win 17 games. But again, I got a feeling it's still I got a feeling that Golden State does not win. Klay Thompson on the bench as well. Golden State doesn't win this game, doesn't come back and win this game, that they will kind of concede the record. That you'll see them kind of, you know, be like, you know what? Let's worry about winning a championship. Let's win, you know, let's win 70 games. Let's win 70 games and worry about winning a championship. We're still by far and away the best team. Let's not, you know, worry, make sure our guys are ready for the playoffs. So it'll be very interesting to see what Golden State, how Golden State responds, not so much in terms of how they're going to play, but in terms of coaching, how Steve Kerr is going to play this rest of the season out. As they have about, 17 more games left, somewhere in that 16-17 range. 347-215-6180 is your call number on this latest edition of 12 and Sports Talk featuring Cyril Joe Quinn. We'll be right back. This latest edition of 12 and Sports Talk featuring Cyril Joel Quinn, 347-215-6180. Lakers up by 21 as Golden State has, Steve Kerr has conceded this game, and Golden State will fall to 55-6. Biggest upset in NBA history, statistically, in terms of win percentage. This will be the biggest upset in NBA history. Kobe Bryant in his last nationally televised Sunday game will, you know, go out a winner from that standpoint. That's how bad the Lakers season has been. The fact that you're counting Sunday wins and, you know, national televised Sunday wins. I can't wait for the reaction of this game, because, you know, the Twitter, social media reaction in terms of the overreaction, will be insane in terms of Golden State now will be vulnerable. This is how you defend them. This is how you defend Steph Curry. Like, you know, this was the ultimate I don't give a F game without question. Like, the Golden State came into this game feeling like if they just put on the warm-ups that they would win. Like, there was no effort. There was no focus. There was nothing that they brought to the table in this game. I mean, nothing from start to up until this point. And they catch a Lakers team that has some young, nice young players laughing. Yeah, they're good. They're laughing on the bench. Like, look, we're 55-6. We're good. But, call a young Lakers team with some nice pieces, and D'Angelo Russell, and of course Randall, and you know, there you go. I mean, NBA. This is a rare game in the NBA. You don't see teams of this magnitude, the difference in talent lose. You just don't see it. So, Golden State's going to win. Golden State's going to lose this game. Lakers again. Doesn't help the Lakers, because it decreases the chance you have of keeping that top three pick, as far as I'm concerned. And that's the most important thing to come out of the Lakers season, outside Kobe's farewell, is making sure you get Ben Simmons, or have an opportunity to get Ben Simmons or Brandon Ingram. Speaking of Ben Simmons, something curious happened yesterday, and I'm not talking about LSU getting smoked by Kentucky, 94-77. Ben Simmons was declared ineligible for the Wooden Award, which of course goes to college basketball's top player. And now the award was, of course, narrowed down to 15 players. And his name wasn't on there because apparently because of academic reasons. Earlier this season, he was benched because of an academic issue. Now, I don't understand, but he played yesterday, and he had 17-11-7. Against Kentucky in a losing effort. I've never have even remotely attempted to try to keep up with the NBA, the NCAA and its rules, and the contradictions of the NBA and the NCAA rules. It's just, I just can't do it. It's almost impossible. And Golden State, by the way, still ahead of Chicago in terms of, one game ahead of Chicago in terms of that record. I'm not even going to pretend to keep up with the NCAA's rules. All I know is you have a guy who clearly, by far and away, is the best player in college basketball. It's going to be number one draft pick. He won't win player of the year because the team's not good enough. And the NCAA, kind of like the regular, kind of like other sports, professional sports, is more about an MVP, has become like an MVP caliber award to where if your team is not an NCAA tournament or a contending type team, that you don't have a chance to win that caliber award despite how great of a player you are. But the point is, I don't get if he's eligible. If he's eligible to play in games, regular games, how he's not eligible to win an award. I don't quite get that. Again, to me, if anybody but him wins that award, I gotta look at the award saying, you know, that player really was not the best player in the world. Excuse me, the best player in college basketball. The guy that actually was the best player in college basketball is not even on the finalist list. Like, I have no problem with Buddy Hield winning the award because the combination of team and performance, Buddy Hield probably has been player of the year. But as far as the guy who is absolutely the best player in college basketball, it's not even a discussion. And Ben Simmons and the criticism that Ben Simmons has received over the course of the season has been borderlining on comical and insane. This guy is averaging almost basically 20, 12, and 5. And people are picking apart his game. And he's 18, 19 years old. Like, he can improve his jump shot. So the criticism has just been ridiculous. He will be number one pick without question. He's clearly the best pro prospect. And it's not even close. And I like Ingram a lot out of Duke. I really do. He's a good player, but he weighs about 80 pounds. Ben Simmons is physically NBA ready right now. And again, just watch him play once. You don't have to watch him play a ton of games. You just watch him play once and watch that guy. That guy is playing chess right now as far as his basketball IQ. Just watch him. I was just watching one time in terms of him making the right play, possession in, possession out. But again, the idea that he's not eligible for this award is, I just can't fathom it. I mean, you can't tell me that a guy, if he wasn't playing because of academic issues, then I'm saying, okay, he's not eligible to play. How could he be eligible to play but not eligible to win an award? I don't get that. So, if he's not eligible now to make the All-American team, is he not eligible for the Associated Press's award, College Player of the Year? Like, what other awards is he not going to be eligible for? I just don't understand this. So you have that, and then you have Bo Ryan, who, again, recently retired Wisconsin head coach, goes out there, retired about beginning of the season, like 75, retired a couple games into the season, mysteriously retired. Now we know why he retired. He was having an extramarital affair, a six-year affair with somebody outside of the Wisconsin program. It comes out now, but it's okay because he did not use Wisconsin expenses during the affair. And it's one of those situations where, again, you scratch your head, you say, well, does that make it work? Does it make it better that he wasn't, that the person, number one, two things. Does it make it better that he wasn't using Wisconsin expenses? One, and the second thing, does it make it better that the person was not affiliated with the Wisconsin program? It's kind of like people saying, oh, no, you know what? It's okay. It's all, he's good. She wasn't from Wisconsin, and he wasn't using Wisconsin expenses. So he gets a pass from that standpoint. He gets a pass. But on one hand, Ben Simmons is not eligible. Did not embarrass himself. And Bo Ryan clearly embarrassed himself in the university with this whole situation and scandal. And takes some shine off of Wisconsin, which has had a very good season, considering how much NBA talent they lost, and considering the fact that they lost, a guy who had a chance to be an All-Offensive coach in Bo Ryan. you take away from the quality season they've had with this nonsense. But his record is clean, and Ben Simmons is not. Something wrong with that. You know, something very much wrong with the NCAA when two things like that can happen, and you get the two outcomes that have occurred with these two situations, with a coach and with a player. 347-215-6180 is the call number. Something's wrong with the NBA's class of 03. We'll talk about two of its prominent players. That's coming up and much, much more on this latest edition of 12 Minutes Sports Talk featuring Cyril Gerald Quinn. We'll be right back. Is your call number on this last edition of Star Wars Sports Talk Feature Series. You're Quinn. Lakers 112, Golden State 95. Again, the greatest statistically, the greatest upset in NBA history in the regular season. Indiana up 60-46 on Maryland, about 11 minutes left in that game. As Kobe Bryant's going to be right now. You know, just one of these games. I mean, I watched Chicago during that 96 season lose by like 30 points to the Knicks. I know the Knicks were a playoff season, but still, I mean, 32 points. So sometimes these things happen. Golden State clearly just showed up or didn't show up and, you know, basically sleptwalked through this entire game. Again, great weather, no motivation. Bad team. It was an early start. They were it was a recipe for maybe a somewhat competitive game, maybe a 15-point victory, but nothing like this. nothing that nobody saw this coming by any stretch of imagination. Kobe Bryant's last game against Steph Curry against Golden State. He goes out a winner. This would be the highlight of the Lakers regular season, not a highlight of the Lakers entire season, would be if they are eligible, if they are to get one Ben Simmons in the NBA draft lottery. But in terms of the regular season, it will not get any better than this for the Los Angeles Lakers, who have otherwise had one of those seasons to forget as they improved to 13-51 on the season. Golden State falls to 55-6. On the day that Peyton Manning retires, Derek Jeter, Kobe Bryant, so some of sports' most prolific winners and greatest of all time going down, going away one by one. You'll see Peyton Manning and Kobe Bryant go out in the same season. Jeff Gordon also with NASCAR, a big NASCAR guy as well. Two current players who are still prominent in the NBA, and LeBron James and Carmelo Anthony are not happy for different reasons. One, obviously, he's not happy because he's on an awful team and he's getting blamed for it. The other one is on a team that's 44-17, and he's still not happy. LeBron James came out with another tweet today. One of these cryptic, read between the lines tweets that you just say, what are you talking about? You try to make sense of it. It's hard to make sense of it. It's hard to make sense of why he's still tweeting this type of stuff 13 years into his career on a team that's 44-17 and will probably be in the NBA Finals. He sent some tweets earlier in the week that were clearly, in my mind, directed towards Kyrie Irving. Clearly. Again, if you're somebody who's on that team, as great as he is, as easy as he makes a game for other players, as easy as he makes a game look in terms of how he performs, you can't be happy playing with LeBron James right now. If you're a Cleveland Cavalier. Now, organizationally, this is what you have to put up with when you give him the keys to the kingdom, the keys to the car. Because before he came back, you were irrelevant as a franchise, and nobody cared about Cleveland. So this is the trade-off, and this is the trade-off. You have to deal with this with him having complete control, power over who coaches, plays, and what have you. This is part of not being a weak organization that doesn't have a structure in place. Like Miami, like San Antonio, like Golden State. You know, LeBron James, you can't have it all. I mean, LeBron James from a basketball situation had a perfect situation with Miami Heat. Four straight finals. He had Dwayne Wade's aging, but you have Pat Riley who knows how to rebuild a Mutual franchise better than anyone in the NBA right now. So you can't tell me from a basketball standpoint that this was his best move to go back to Cleveland. LeBron wanted complete control. He didn't want to be told what to do. He didn't want to be under the reins of Pat Riley. And that's that. And, you know, you look at LeBron since he's going back to Cleveland, you know, he has found a way to somewhat alienate both Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving, or a better term would be just to piss them off. Both of them. So despite the record of 44-17, Cleveland is no closer to a championship now than they were at the time David Blatt was fired. It is not. Now, we all know, injury withstanding, that everybody, San Antonio included, is playing for second. Okay, Golden State is just that much better than everybody else. So everybody's playing for second. And I think that's contributing to LeBron's frustration, knowing that he's probably not going to win another championship. But again, you're hearing stuff, he made me Cleveland, these cryptic tweets. It's like, you know, you made your bed, you got to lay in it. So, like, this is what you wanted. You wanted an entire organization. You wanted to be the centerpiece. You wanted to be able to make decisions in terms of players. You wanted to control everything. Well, with that control comes, you know, my responsibility comes with that control. I mean, again, a basketball-wise decision would have been to get Andrew Wiggins and not Kevin Love. That would have been a smart basketball decision. But he completely dismissed Andrew Wiggins. I mean, completely dismissed him. He did not Anthony Bennett. He was a non-factor and still remains a non-factor. I'm talking about Andrew Wiggins, who had a ton of talent and a major upside. And is one of the guys who the NBA right now is drooling over, a wing player who can defend, who will have the ability to defend and score on both ends. Those players are few and far between in the NBA right now. As far as Carmelo goes, listen, when you go back, you're not going to ever win a battle going back and forth with a fan. Carmelo has actually played well this season. He's on a bad team. I'm not going to sit up here. A lot of people try to hold Carmelo to be LeBron, Wade, Kobe. We know he's not on that level, and it's not even fair to hold him to that level. He's not going to win a championship. He won a college championship. He'll be a Hall of Famer. He's a tremendous scorer. You know what Carmelo is. Carmelo, you know, similar to LeBron, though, you can't have it all. You have to be able to take the criticism, making $25 million a year, being the centerpiece on a team in the number one sports market, major market in the country. It's all a part. It's all in the game. and a guy wants to talk trash to you from the stands, ignore him and keep it moving. You can't go back and forth with a heckler. I mean, Carmelo easily, and Carmelo's a smart guy as far as business-wise, easily could have went to Chicago and been in contention for the next 4 or 5 years, easily. But he took the money. And I'm not going to knock him for taking the money. $30 million is a lot of money to leave on the table. It's a lot. But let's be honest, with this new collective bargaining agreement, with all the money that he makes off the court, I'm confident that money could have been made up. Could have redone his contract where he could have opt out after the second or third year in Chicago and then re-up the contract again. So I don't think that would have messed Carmelo's financial future up, that he went to Chicago or another place and took less money. But he wanted to stay in New York, and now, you know, he's taking the brunt of why the team is bad and, you know, why the team is in its current state. Fair or unfair, it's all part of being the franchise player on the team in New York. And again, you will never win, ever win, going back and forth with a heckler. It's just not going to turn out. Fan, heckler, whoever. You're never going to win that battle. Never. 347-215-6180 is your call number. We'll be right back. Back to this latest edition of Traveling Sports Talk featuring Cyril Gerald Quinn as we discuss the world of sports and pop culture. Of course, today's news, Peyton Manning retires, Golden State upset by the Lakers. And the second part actually happened. Golden State upset by the Lakers, 112-95. Klay Thompson and Stephen Curry finished 1-for-18 from the three-point line. The two best shooters in the league, arguably 1-for-18 from the 3-point line. Peyton Manning is going to retire. News conference coming tomorrow afternoon, set about 1 p.m. No shock whatsoever. There were thoughts that he wanted to play another year, but when all this stuff came down about a month ago or the week leading up to the Super Bowl with what transpired at the University of Tennessee, and that athletic trainer, that basically sealed the deal in terms of him coming back. He does not want that kind of attention. It was a story that would have been, you know, front and center going into the off season, going into training camp, going into the regular season in 2016. He did not want to deal with that. That coming off, especially coming off the Super Bowl. So now narrative will be going to be his retirement. What's next, his legacy, the memories, that will be the narrative more than this situation that transpired about 20 years ago at the University of Tennessee. Because Peyton Manning is beloved. Peyton Manning, I mentioned this on the program a couple of weeks ago, Peyton Manning, more than any other football player, more than that's in the last 15, 20 years, gets a pass, has gotten almost a complete pass from the media, despite all this stuff that has transpired. So he's going to go out on a note where he's not riding into the sunset. He's going to be running into the sunset. He's going to be running into the sunset. So he'll go out on that note. That's going to wrap it up for this latest edition of 12 of Sports Talk Features with Gerald Quinn. Again, catch any archived episode at blogtalkradio.com/TheRealQuinn. We will be having a live program. It will not be next week. Probably the week after. Still have a couple of days to do on it. Again, this is a program, you know, The Wire is one of those shows that you cannot just jump into and start. We're not going to recap the show. There's a lot of things we want to do with that particular program. It's going to be a 3-part series. And I guarantee you, I'll be doing the program with Rob Sapp and Jack Quinn. It will certainly be worth the wait. Well worth the wait. So So keep it. I will keep you posted on that program when that's going to start. We're going to do season 1 and 3 together, season 4 by itself, and combine seasons 2 and 5. So we'll do 3 seasons of The Wire, the greatest television show of all time. That's coming up. I will see you next time as we head into March Madness. So long. Have a great evening. See you next time.